imam Ebas i Vishalet to start our meeting, what has become very apparent is that our programs have to keep changing from time to time. The reason for that is because of the changes within the programming committee. That also today we are to meet at this time. It is a matter that had to be decided upon by the program committee. We were scheduled to meet, I don't even remember when. I think like on Tuesday, Wednesday. We met last week on Tuesday to present, to order that to be presented with the plans by department on NASA funds, and also with the budget as well. Now, to an extent that our discussion went, actually when we had to meet last week on Friday, receiving the forensic investigation report, we even had to go to an extent of asking a pertinent question as to what comes so special with this farm. Because the department had a number of other farms, but they did not come here. Understandably so, history as to how the department had acquired that farm. Let's attend to that. But now we are seized with this farm, wherein we have to seriously look at it and be able to say how best we go forward. I think it would be of interest as well, members, to get a sense as to what is going on with other farms, so that we're not only to be presented with this farm. Granted, those other farms are within the ambit of the department as to what is it that they do and how do they do. To an extent, NASA also could even have learned a lesson or two, or those farms could even have learned a lesson or two from NASA. We don't know. Now, that also became one of those areas of interest that we had to talk about when we met last week on Friday. Unfortunately, a number of members couldn't make it, again, due to all the changes that have been taking place within Parliament. However, we did go ahead with that session today. We are meeting with the department as a requirement before we debate on the 29th. We have to go through such a submission. But of course, also very importantly as well, the committee has to adopt a report of all the submissions through the hearings that took place. NASA Farm being one of those within the department itself. So as a rule, this is what they refer to, the three-day rule, before any debate takes place. The committee shall have to adopt such a report, and then we go on for those debates and acceptance of both the department and also entities, budgets and plans. So that's the kind of process that we find ourselves having to go through. Today is that time when we shall be expected from the department and from management to present to us on the plans and also on the budget itself. Outside that, on our agenda, we also have two other areas that we also thought we should perhaps deal with. One relating to the fertilizer and feed bill, and perhaps the briefing that regards. And then, of course, they also having to adopt minutes. We did receive copies of the minutes, draft minutes. For us, here it is to adopt those. A quorum in that regards, therefore, shall be expected to be observed. Just looking at the numbers that are here, I saw Mr. Banga in, he's now out. We trust that he's coming back. Mr. Abram shall have to join us later. And also Mr. Van Dalen. Expected of us is a number, what, 7, for us to reach that quorum. But in the meantime, while other members are on their way, we shall then give the floor to the department. But before we do that, 2 quick ones. One, we have apologies, one from, I saw somewhere where the minister has apologized, turned out the apology. I don't know whether it was an email from my phone. Did you receive anything? An apology was tendered, a written apology. we did not receive any apology from the Deputy Minister, did we? None. Okay. It's as if we're going forward and backwards, more backwards than forward, with the Deputy Minister, who consistently do not come to our committee meetings. It's a very important area of our work that we are dealing with, that of receiving these budgets and plans from department and their entities. And then, of course, also we do have an apology from this party. So the message reads as follows: please be advised that you will not be attending PC schedule for the 14th and 17th of May due to the fact that she has constituent work in her province. It's pilot. What can you do with the members of parliament and the by elections? I was told somewhere that Mr. Trolley, you know, having to go back to the Eastern Cape, he will just be working on by elections all the way, having not to join any committee. So in that regard, Mr. Trolley has got a permanent apology in the provincial legislation. So these are the kinds of apologies that we get, members. Members, having said that, I thought we should present to the committee here for us to adopt our agenda. I'm doing that deliberately lately so that we have an understanding of what it is that we have to do in our committee. Granted, it is communicated earlier or ahead of time, but I thought, you know, when we are meeting officially, we should have that norm as it were. Are we fine with the agenda? The 3 areas? Once? Twice? Gone. But we'll take a call as it's done what it is to do.
Chairperson, I propose that we adopt the agenda as it is and proceed. Thank you.
Any second? Mama Otala is also to do what she's about to do. Okay, can we hear you, Mama? Can we hear you to do what you are about to do?
I second.
Thank you, Mama. I think we better do it that way, you know, so that we are also here out there on the decisions that we take. They are very important so that, you know, we're also protected going forward. You know, you had an agenda that was never adopted, and then it comes back. Okay, without a bit of time, members, let's take it that we shall be here for a lesser time than expected. I don't know who is from the department to come in. Dr. Mkiza? Thank you.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, honourable members. Let me thank you for inviting us to make presentations here today. Among the people that are here, we have Tinaka and we have senior managers of the department. And on the first agenda item, NECA CEO, Mr. Mzimano, is going to take us through the presentation. Thanks.
Good evening, Jefferson, and good evening, honorable members, and my colleagues from the department. Thank you very much for the opportunity. We are glad to come and present our strategy as an entity. The mandate of NECA hasn't changed, as we have presented it a year and a half ago. It is a public entity, and the mandate granted by the shareholders, the objectives of the entity to provide extension mechanical services training and agricultural support to farmers settled at the farmland as well as neighboring communities. We have changed that mandate. As far as the strategy is concerned, that's the table of content, the background, the business model of NECA, the implementing structure as it goes down to the budget and conclusion. I will go now back to the background of NECA. I think we've said NECA is in East London, it falls under the Amatola region, and it is an entity of the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. And it is in the Eastern Cape. The business model of NECA, as we put it, NECA is an entity that after selling the cattle of deer and those of the bullies that could not be kept in their general type, that we want to concentrate on two enterprises, the beef, cattle, and the goats. We do some mechanization for the farms that are around NECA and the communities. And we think that if we transfer the skills that we have to the farmers for livestock and crop, would have done what we think is in the mandate. Normally, NECA as an entity will fall around the nucleus being the beef, and areas of mechanization, the skill transfer. Because we've got two tunnels, we're doing crop production in terms of the green peppers and the tomatoes, and we are limited to that. Around us, we also got some farmers and some community. The implementation structure of NECA, we deal with it. We think that we're supposed to have a board, we report to the board, we've got the portfolio committee that does oversight. We did a general strategy that was not funded. We had a business plan. We are accountable to the minister and the DG and the CFO of the department. In terms of the budget for the financial year 2013-2014, because we had a general strategy that was not approved for the many reasons that we put forward to us previously, we believe that if we continue doing our business between the cattle and the goats, one of the major activities that we have to embark on is to make sure that the whole part of the farm is fenced, hence we've got 500,000 budgets for this financial year. We feel that there's nothing you can do as NECA while it is in such a forest, so there's money that we need for deep bushing. And in particular in this business plan, as you see it, we focused in employing casual laborers to help us to do. And because NECA has a history of not being funded to do any infrastructure, you will see that you've got your health facilities for the same cattle, the rebuilding of the dams, as you see, to increase the number of greenhouses, the internal fencing, so that you can avoid the areas where animals dual bridging, pastor fortification to increase the grace and capacity. And in this year, we're not buying any goats and any cattle. We think that we need to train our staff members in the new developments. Because Chairperson Nyaka doesn't have a board. And this area always becomes a problem when it comes to audit. We feel that we had to budget if the board is being appointed. We have got tractors at Nyaka that were born in 1985. And these tractors, as you would see in the asset register, they've got most of them near zero, they are broken up. And we thought that we have to budget for at least two tractors. We've got workers that are being cut every now and again with buggies, and we needed to buy canopies for that. Repairs and maintenance for tractors and trucks goes without saying. So that's the budget that we have for this particular financial year of 2.4 million. I just wanted to show you the picture of the goats that we have at Nyaka at the moment, and these goats are thriving very well at the particular point in time, because we thought that it's our part of our core business. We, after selling the dairy cattle, we embark on the beef bait. We have had some talks with the department to say, what do we do as an entity to assist the department into the mandate of the livestock improvement program? And we have agreed with the department that the program is going forward, Chairperson and honorable members, is going to be an entity that is going to focus on the Munis or on the Mun cattle. And we're doing this on the basis of the fact that, one, we want to reclaim the Munis from the commercial farmers into where it originated from. The department has a program of CASPA where the department within the provinces focuses on the livestock improvement for sourcing animals for the farmers that are being chosen by the department to focus on this particular breed. We chose this particular breed, Chairperson, because this is our original breed as South Africans. It's a hardier breed, and it can eat anything between the shrubs and the bushes, and even those pieces that fall under that breed, which are less palatable. But at the same time, it is able to produce the type of animal that we have at the moment at Nyaka. So we are, however, then Chairperson spoken to the department and agreed that this is going to be the way forward of this entity. But we can't do any of those things without us looking at all the, even the governance issues that are around the entity. But we have agreed with the department in principle that after so long that the Nyaka is in a particular direction, that we want to be an entity that focuses on the Munis. But you can see in the strategy that we developed the strategy before we had this engagement with the department and agreed upon. But before that, there was still talks between us and the department from the last era strategy. Chairperson, we also feel that there is a need in the provinces for this particular breed in the programs that are run in the livestock improvement program, and we can be a hub and a source for us to supply to these projects in the provinces from where we are. With that, Chair, I think I must pause. And I'll give the CEO just to talk about the governance issues relating to NASA, because it doesn't matter what we do. We still have governance issues that abide us with PMFA and Treasury regulation at times. Thank you, Chair. I'll give to the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. I would just present the governance issues. I think it's just the 5 bullet points that we have there. We are saying is that we don't have board of directors to guide us and to help us with many things that relates to governance. And we're saying that we don't have an audit committee or risk committee, which was going to help us to improve the internal controls, and they were going to review our finances, that we're spending our money in the way that we're supposed to spend it. And we're saying that we don't have the internal auditors as well to assess those controls, that they are working effectively and efficiently for both financial and performance. And there's also no approved turnaround strategy with a clear mandate of the entity, which is the contravention with the PFMA and treasury regulations for the entity to operate without the approved turnaround strategy. And as well, there's no approved annual performance plan for the entity as well. I think this has been the situation for the past so many years, and it has been the finding from the auditors for those last two items. But we do have the draft strategy and the annual performance plan. I think the last part that I would just touch on is the main challenges of the entity. The first challenge is only three challenges that but they are not limited to these three challenges that we wanted to update. It's that we don't have the employment contract for those people who joined the entity before 2011, July. So we inherited this entity with people that do not have employment contracts. And there's a question whether the entity is a profit-making organization or not. And if it is a profit-making organization, we also believe that this is conflicting with the applicable legislation within the entity. I think let me end there and hand over to the CEO again. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair, as we conclude, we believe that the entity has been, in my view, has been underfunded for so many years. I'm saying this because every time the entity has been seen as an entity that is not making profit, whether it was trusted or made to be an entity that makes profit anyway, as it was initially designed. We have received 3.3 million chairperson this financial year. The 2.3 million that we have received, as it is in the NTF budget from the department, is not even enough to pay our salaries. We have to fund 2.2 million to cover our salaries and our overhead costs, which talks to electricity, diesel, and all telephone account and all that. So we are sitting now with a deficit of 2.2 million just to cover our salaries and wages and overheads at the moment. I'm saying NERA can be an entity that is functional if it is funded. But I find that every time it is being criticized of not making any money. But the little money that I find when I got, there was 2.8 million, which was not enough even to pay salaries. So at the present moment, we are sitting with 3.3 million. It's not even enough to cover our salaries. However, we are speaking to the department in terms of the department resting us in that regard. Around America, there are a lot of stakeholders, the communities, the chiefs, which find this entity as an entity that can help them in many areas of job creation and also getting help from the entity. So there's a high expectation from the entity by the people that are around. The asset register has been distributed. You will see in the asset register that there are a lot of assets at NERA. But the value of those assets, many of them, is one rent. Many of them are scrap. Many of them are old. We inherited this problem, and they sit in our asset register. Up until such time, something is done about taking them out of that, and we find a little that has got value. There are also then farmers that are leasing the land that the portfolio committee is aware of. And there are also most of the 9, if not 8 of them, they sit, and those farms are not being utilized, even by the very same farmers that are there. And the CFO has touched about NERA being a profit-making organization, if it is. And I don't see it in that regard making profit from the fact that you don't even money to do any operation that was making profit from what. I think at that level, this is the end of our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's a report on our last visit in October, November. That report, at the end there, in the conclusion, it talks about one of the recommendations that are made to arrange to the committee, the farmers are settled in the 10 farms, representatives from chieftaincies and farm dwellers, where the department will bring the committee on the forest investigation report. During this meeting, the land ownership and allocation of 10 farms has to be clarified. We have since set Friday for that meeting, wherein all those stakeholders mentioned here, plus the provincial counterparts, our counterparts, so they have been involved. We have also extended an invitation as well to the Department of Health, so that we do once all, what's the English word for that? We do a once all, you'll correct me with the English, but having to do one thing once and for all in addressing the kind of issues that we've been dealing. We started with this process and also I was asking myself a question as to whether has there been any committee of parliament that went from Nerha Farm before we went there, February of 2010? That could sound more like an academic question because the process is now reached this point. But it would be quite interesting also to learn. We should never ask, I must be honest. We started that process then when we really instigated for that forensic investigation to be conducted with Mrs. Van Kittiti at the time. We also received a set of assets and liabilities which we requested so that in the event of anything happening, we have to get a sense of what is going on. So we have that, let's end the department. And the last comment I wanted to make before we get on to the issues, just a bit of a background. Last financial year, when we took a briefing from the department on their turnaround strategy and on their plans and budget, we had an issue to an extent that the department and the entity has to go back. But without knowing that this would have had an implication on the actual budget of the department itself, we then had to come back and correct that. And that's the reason why we then had to get the department together with the entity moving forward, that you're able to feed your families and that you're able to do a little, you know, here and there. I suppose let me just remind ourselves about that background, that we find ourselves in this situation today. And a number of us are familiar with that background, but as I thought for some of us, you know, who have just joined the committee. Mr. Keller?
The person, you are right, when you met on Friday, you will cast the assets of the entity. And problem for these assets here, I don't see any livestock. they should be essence of the entity as well. We wanted the whole essence of the entity. If you remember very well when we quoted the goats and all that, can we get an explanation why is the livestock not in?
Okay, Mr. Troy.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, just for the record, when I do leave Parliament to go to the legislature, I'm not going to give a permanent apology to work in by-elections. That is a very subjective opinion of what I might be doing, going to do there. So maybe you want to look at that. Chair, first of all, I want to make a comment about the fact that the meeting was aborted last week, and that the representatives from NEHA travelled from the Eastern Cape to come and attend this meeting last week. And it was aborted on the eve of the meeting that was scheduled to take place. And I can only think that that would put even more pressure on the finances of an already very stretched NEHA farms operation. Chair, you made mention of the report from our last visit, of which there have been many over the years. And I think the reports are there for everyone to see. I want to make some comment about them. But first of all, the CEO says there is no board. I want to venture that there is no strategic plan, that there is no direction for this organisation, and there is no objective for it to exist. The CEO says the organisation is underfunded, and I say it isn't underfunded. In fact, it's overfunded, because it performs no good function to either land reform, rural development, or agricultural productivity improvement in the province. Its reason to exist is questionable. The 3.3 million rand that is currently expended on this operation delivers no benefit to the people of the NEHA area or the Eastern Cape. And the CEO says it's underfunded by 2.2 million and that it needs to be to make up the backlog. Now my experience and your experience and the whole committee's experience when we visited there is that there's absolutely no way that this entity will be able to generate a profit of 2.2 million to meet the shortfall. Chairperson, there is no turnaround strategy for NEHA. There have been some tabled over the years. There's no new turnaround strategy tabled to this portfolio today. There can be no approval of the annual performance plan of this entity because there's no turnaround strategy. There is no coherent strategy to give effect to any turnaround. Chair, when I look at this document that talks about what it's supposed to attain, it says, the main aim of NEHA Farms Limited is to contribute towards an industry-focused farm management training, farm support services, and the design of a franchise-type agricultural business model for farmers in general and beneficiaries of land and agrarian reform in particular, with the immediate catchment area of the centre. Accordingly, NEHA's interventions are geared towards human capacity development, skills upgrading, and income generation in a practical, hands-on fashion. Now, Chair, when we went to visit there on a number of occasions, there's absolutely no evidence that there's any proof of skills transfer, skills updating, income generation with the exception of selling a few cabbages to the members of the portfolio committee. And there's no practical hands-on exchange of training for beneficiaries of land reform. Chairperson, the background says that the SD is surrounded by nine villages and the neighbouring villages.
We had a discussion on those matters on Friday. Then said, you are not dealing with this that we are dealing here now. To an extent that we agreed tentatively, to an extent that agreeing that here, that discussion, on the way forward. Because what we agreed upon in principle is that we have an entity that is not fulfilling its objectives. So all what you are referring to are matters that, you know, we were able to say, yes, you are going to receive a report of this nature. However, we need a way forward as to what then happens
with the sanity.
You can understand that we were almost close to saying, abort this initiative of NASA, but there are legal implications to that effect, which we'll then have to address in a meeting formally of the nation. I'm trying to assist us because the issues they are raising, they are very relevant, they are spot on. We went beyond those as we speak now. I trust I'm assisting you, Mr. Trollip, in that regard.
Yeah, you do assist, but all I want to say is I've invested a lot of time and effort, like many of us in this committee, to go and ascertain, to do an evaluation, to see for ourselves what's happening there. And we expend taxpayers' money every year on this place. And its very reason to exist is not justifiable. We find in our own report that the committee observed that the entity was not doing what it was mandated to do. I can read the whole report, but it's not necessary. But Jefferson, we are not fulfilling our fiduciary responsibility as a portfolio committee. If we continue to meet here, or at Leha, or anywhere, to discuss this failing entity, if we don't actually make some concrete resolutions about what should happen there. And Jefferson, the report says that this area deals with the Amadushane, people who live in the surrounding area. It's not Amadushane. It's Amadushane and Amakunkwe. And those people and those villagers and the people who are supposed to get something out of this institution get absolutely nothing. So we can either have a charade and meet, have endless meetings about an organization that does not justify 1 cent that has been spent on there. Or we can simply say we will make a finding and resolution about what goes on at NAHA and close it down, or have an investigation, or discuss the forensic audit, but you have one meeting after the other and have no resolution or outcome. Not one member of this committee will counter what I'm saying. I've been there countless times on my own volition and with the committee, and each time I go there I get more and more depressed. When I look at the asset register, what's written here is worth the paper that's written on. If you go there and have a look at the tractors, they are unserviceable. They don't provide any service to those villages whatsoever. So, Chair, we've got to come to a point with this organization. Otherwise, we are wasting our time.
Mr. Trollway, you're not contradicting yourself again. You're saying the same thing. The point I'm raising is that we have gone through all that process. However, the question that remains for us here is the way forward. Mr. Banga? Mama, notice?
Yeah. Chair, firstly, I went out when the meeting was going to start on Sunday. I would apologize if I'm going to ask things maybe that as we were opening the meeting you dealt with. The first thing I think on Friday, Chair, that we demanded to the department is that senior officials of the department must be here, including the Director General and everybody that was involved and is involved with the process. As I read even my briefings here, is that I don't know where Dr. Mkize is a caretaker, where is he? Oh, okay, yeah. Now, the Director General,
maybe just on that point, Mr. Bama, if you could just get a quick one. You have Dr. Mkize, there is Mr. Voss, who have been involved with this project. Those are the only two in terms of the actual presence within the NAFA farm. So beyond those, you have Mr. Mangadan, who is in India, and also Mrs. Bangi, who is in the U.S.
Okay.
So if I, is you have, people who matter on this one, present.
The DG, where is the DG?
The DG?
The DG was traveling last week. I would have to check if he's back in the country yet, but that is the reason why myself and Mr. Hoss are here. It was basically to represent the DG, but at the same time, since the chairperson emphasized that we can, we dropped everything else and hence we are here.
Chair, I want to ask those questions because we had time, which is that officials must leave, and we had time. Like, I expect that even the CFO is supposed to be here because we're talking finances. But let me ask,
Yes, I think I must echo what you are saying. Maybe it's because Mr. Grolip was not part of the meeting. I think, Mr. Grolip, we are going towards that. That's why this meeting was called today. And I think our last meeting will be on Friday to get to some. The questions I'm asking are based from that. I think, sir, you are very clear. But I don't think that time now we should say what we have resolved over this. Because if you still remember, Mr. Trolley, we said the stakeholders in the NEFA should come. Now, part of our decision is that we want to listen to them. And then the same Friday, we're communicating our decision as well as agreed. But can't communicate it now without having met those people. It will be leading the process. Therefore, I think that's what we are trying to explain. I want to check, because we said, because it's something like process, this one, we should perform this responsibility, and then we'll deal with whether we adopt this or not on Friday. But we have had a discussion. But the first question to the entity, I think, and the department is based on their presentation. And because I want to focus here on this presentation. In terms of your background, you have identified your objectives. I think that's what also Mr. Trollip is trying to echo. That's the objective of the entity. My expectation is that for the past 13 years. And I think I'm going to ask this from the entity and the officials that are involved and were involved. That for the past 13 years, the objective of this entity are based on the first paragraph on the background. One, contribute towards an industry-focused farm management, training, farmer support services, and the design of franchise-type agricultural business models for farmers in general and beneficiaries of the land and agricultural. We have 13 years now. You had these objectives. I'm closer to achieving these objectives. And what made us not to achieve this? But it will let those officials who are involved. Because it is true what Mr. Grolip is saying. Going to Mekhabam, practically, and looking to what is happening. Literally, there's no training that is happening there. There's no support services that are given to the farmers. Now, what will make us to justify the fact that government should continue to fund a project for 13 years when there's disorder and disorganization, and we're still talking about turnaround strategies. What is it? And I think I want to talk this to the entity and to the officials that are involved in relation to this. We're seeing a forensic report about this, but I want to close that. We have asked even to the people who are presenting the forensic report, and I think I'm throwing this to the department, that here comes an entity that has not necessarily meet the guidelines that the National Treasurer requires. Even the Public Financial Management Act, that there must be a board, and so all sort of other things, and how a strategic plan is developed. Is not meeting all those things. And here comes that Parliament and government should continue to fund this. How do you fund it? How do you fund it? If in terms of the legal framework, you don't meet any other requirement of the National Treasury guidelines, and you continue to fund an entity, what is it that justifies this expense? If all of us were saying, we do not have an understanding. And what is the role of the caretaker in all these plans? I'm asking this because if the caretaker is part of the strategic planning, we can't be told now by the representative last week that they are still thinking about the option that they can utilize to turn the institution around. I said last week, but since we got the forensic report. It's only 2 years after that now you talk about a plan to turn things around. What is it that the caretaker is doing and has been doing for the past years to turn this situation around. Lastly, what is the vision of the department? Is this an expenditure we must continue to have as parliament? Or should we close off in the institution? Or should we open gates and continue funding an institution? We are told about the forensic report. Next, I think the chair, next Friday also, we said it's going to be presented also to the stakeholders to inform our decision. We've officially on the record that how far are we in terms of processing the issues that lead to the forensic report?
I'm asking.
Chairperson, thank you for giving me a chance. Chairperson, you know, no amount of strategic debts can meet this farm's worth. First and foremost, Chairperson, we are talking about entity without a budget. And there are many financial years. This funds were without budget. The budget we are talking about here was only for salaries. And we were told that they don't have a board of directors. They don't have an internal finance committee. Even those who are working there, they don't have contracts. They are just there. And I don't know, because we started in 2010. I don't know how long before we started this farm were there. And I don't see ourselves as this committee going forward without budget. You can't just talk without budget. This thing doesn't have budget. And we can't say the budget we are seeing here can. It's only for the gentleman that said even the budget they got, it can't even cover their salary. Now, I'm asking myself, what are we debating? What are we debating? Because there is no budget for this thing. And firstly, I would like us to debate this thing. When this thing has a budget, because you can check this, the assets. They are old, they are old. They can't work anymore. And to continue with this farm, it needs a new budget, and a budget, Chairperson, not salaries, budget to make those farms work. Without budget, I don't think where we are going. Because we're talking, so until maybe the department has enough budget to pick up those funds so that they can work. But as we are speaking now, we are just speaking, because this thing doesn't have budget. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, I want us to move. The issues are very straightforward. I guess what we are confronted with here is a question as to, having heard the province investigation report, that seemingly is at the back of our minds. But now what we are dealing with is a strat plan. We agreed that we need to entertain the strat plan and take a decision on how do we take it and that process forward. And that's what we are dealing with. There are challenges that are quite obvious. Those challenges have been pointed out in the past. They are still there as we speak. the fact that you not have governance issues in place, the fact that you do not have any turnaround strategy that has been agreed upon, those two, they point one simple direction, that nothing is moving. Now we're presented with the strat plan and the budget. We need to make a call as to how to take the process forward. Mr. Gaylor, not if Mr. Chun.
Chairperson, I've asked an important question for the asset register. And we need an answer. This is not a full asset register. We'll move forward when we know what where are the other assets, the livestock. I think it's really important. Let's get an answer on that one.
Mr. Chun?
Chairperson, you asked a salutary question. We're here to consider an annual performance plan. For all intents and purposes, there's no annual performance plan. There is an incomplete asset register, as the Honourable Taylor said. For example, the Nguni cattle and the Bordans. They weren't bred on the property. They were acquired. The management of that, both those herds is questionable. They're not even run on land that belongs to Lecha, run on the land that belongs to the Jongilanga sectorship. There's no board. There's no coherent turnaround strategy. There isn't enough money in a current budget to sustain the operations. So for all intents and purposes, we can't even consider the annual performance plan because there isn't one. And they don't warrant receiving one gross cent from the government for the next financial year. So we're talking about a budget debate that we're going to talk about in the next few days. These are ways that we as a committee can endorse the fact that they're going to receive 1 cent from government on the strength of what we've implemented. If you look at this report, the two reports that we have in front of us, and you compare it to the year before and the year before and the year before that for the last decade, is absolutely nothing new. So there is no waste. And the Honourable Member said the budget is efficient. The budget's not deficient. It's the inclination and the attention to detail and the fulfillment of the objective is what's deficient, not the budget.
Mr. Bang. I don't know, Chair, whether this is where we are supposed to end, but I would have expected to have a responsive first. And then, because that things were said we are going to do, it's unfortunate that the numbers were not there. There are things, and I don't know whether you should lead those things or we should lead, because we have said we want these officials to come here and respond to these questions. And we have outlined a process in which it is going to be followed. Some of the sentiments raised by members, they have been dealt in that. But I don't want to do something that is not necessarily duty. Because maybe you should do and explain what we said is going to happen, starting from here. But if you can also give some space for officials to respond, and then you lead us, maybe this meeting must not be this long. Because we have agreed that we're not adopting Mr. Trudeau, this strategic plan. We are not adopting the performance management. We'll finalize the decision on Friday. We have taken a decision according to information we have. But that decision will be informed more. Amongst other things, that's why we are insisting on this thing of a the asset register. We are insisting. Meaning, Chair, we must be able to say the things that are not here in the asset register now, in this meeting. On the meeting on Friday, they must all be here. That's the direction I wanted us to take, members. Mr. Gaylor, the question you're raising relates more with the asset register, which is equally relevant, because as you plan going forward, especially when we meet on Friday, we will need to clarify exactly what is it that you have there in terms of assets, not only assets but also liabilities, so that we get a sense of what is going on, what is there currently, who is owed by the NC, so that it doesn't only get to be confined to the assets as well. I think the issue, let me just complete my point. but we are moving forward. But the issues raised by members, they pertain more to what is it that we are expected to do come Friday. But also we did take a discussion that says, what do we do today? Today what we do, we simply tell ourselves that there is no entity that must go on working. But that's not a decision for today. That's a decision for Friday. I guess the dilemma that we're in must speak with a question that says, we are accepting the budget minus its activities. Didn't we say that? As to the beginning of that becomes a question.
What we said, we are not going to accept adopt the budget per se, the entire budget, but the only aspect going forward would be the functioning, because there are legal implications, we have staff that is in the entity, only the operation of that particular account that can only approved for now. But the department on Friday will have to outline the legal processes going forward.
That's more or less what I was saying, members, Mr. Gila. And then you shall then have to be expected to respond on or comment on some areas. Okay?
Chairperson, you are right to get a resolution on Friday, but also said, the lady that's here, the department must go and verify the assets. Because it's going to become a loading spree, that's what you said. So the department must come with a report of the assets here today, because it will end up being a loading spree there. And that is not done. The department is to answer secondly. We also posed a question because there was nobody from the department. DG was not, we said the DG must be here. That we had these findings for years, if you remember very well. Why didn't the DG take, the department take any action? What actions are, why did they take actions? They must come and tell us why didn't they take actions against the officials that are involved in it. Some of them were in employ of the department, if you remember very well on Friday. And today the DG is not here. So we expect Mr. Mkino to examine the DG to give us an answer. That's what you said on Friday. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Mkino.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start by indicating that once the Parliament, which is basically committee members here, have taken a resolution, we will definitely uphold that resolution. And the process, as the Chair has indicated, will suggest that we go back to the department and we look at that which has to be done on the basis of the resolution that this Parliament will have taken. In terms of the questions, the objectives of MWSA as an entity, none what is listed there is not done by the provincial Department of Agriculture. The problem that this Parliament has is the issue that we have been discussing within the department. To say, if anything, we need to look at the merits of the existence of MWSA. I'm happy that there is this discussion here today. Someone was saying 13 years ago, the provincial departments were doing this already. Question is, what is MWSA doing if the provincial department is doing the same? But these are the things that we are discussing as management in the department. But let me also come back to the non-compliance by MWSA. We fully agree there is no board of directors, because if we had a board of directors at MWSA, it would require more resources to ensure that that board is doing something. No audit committee. committee, it is because we don't want to incur any more costs on an institution that is doing very little versus the investment that is already being made on it. Not that we are insensitive in terms of compliance. We are very much sensitive to compliance issues because it's very much part of what the PFMA is saying. So I'm basically the caretaker of the board, because if we were to have 9 more people, we will have to converge possibly 2 or 3 times a year. That would suggest another 300,000 rands being spent on NGHA, and that is the money that we do not have. But without saying many things, let me indicate that once this committee has taken a resolution, as a department we'll go back, look at that resolution and do what we have to do in terms of ensuring that we do all the processes that are required, given that you have staff employed by NGHA and you have some assets as the members have indicated. And again, we need to do it as per guidance within the PFMA as to what to do with a state-owned entity, depending on the schedule in which NGHA is. Thanks.
See, the challenge that we're confronted with the case is that you have an allocation from the department, which is what, 3.4 million. But that allocation has to be premised on the basis of your plan, which there is no plan. That's the simple point that I'm trying to address. With all what members have been saying, notwithstanding all the other matters related as to assets and register, liabilities and whatnot, this discussion has to take place also on Friday, on the way forward. But we are required here, in accordance with the prescripts of the law, to say here is an annual performance plan presented to us. Here is a budget presented to us on the entity schedule 3B of the KMFA. We do not have that. I think that's a simple point, members, that we're trying to address with all that we have been saying there. And expected of us by law is to say we are accepting and there is nothing to accept. That's the simple point in a nutshell that we are doing. Am I summarizing it okay, Melissa? So in other words, we had a meeting that did not take place, where in the meeting was expected to present before us an annual performance plan and a budget. Yet, insofar as the department is concerned, a transfer is due for NGHA to fulfill whatever NGHA is expected to do. Yes, you do have your start plan, turnaround strategy, and so on and so forth. But again, your national treasury has its own regulations guided by your PMMA that also instructs us that as we go forward, we take a particular process. That's where we are now. And we need to move quicker and faster. I'm not sure also by also you are expected to table such a plan before Parliament so that we prepare ahead of time. So that also did not happen. that we are confronted here with a major problem. That is where we are on this matter. So in other words, we have nothing to accept. Nothing to object to. As I said, it's a meeting that never took place. Okay. I'm not sure, members, if we have any other thing else still to deal with. Nothing else.
I don't know whether we, for the meeting on Friday, we expected certain people to come in. Like, we said the committee from the Eastern Cape, the official from the Eastern Cape, the DG, when we're going to take serious, this must be here. You see? If need be, to the hotel advisor, whenever, the minister must be here. Because we're going to take serious decisions here about this situation. Therefore, I'm saying the people who are supposed to be here on Friday, they must be here, the stakeholders must be here. And the chair, I think after presentation, you must not waste time. You must lead us on what we propose. Then entertain it from them on Friday.
Okay, members, I'm dealing here in my own little mind with a question as to what next, by when. The major problem I was referring to talks to the fact that by the 29th we have a debate. We have to pass the budget. This is but one part of the National Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries budget. So, we should be guided also by our legal eagles here. You want to comment quickly on that? Granted, our parliament is expected to guide us going forward. But I'm dealing here with a question as to what then happens. Can it be then that given the fact that there is no submission of the APP and budget by the entity, that entity's budget therefore falls away in the scheme of things of the national budget, of the Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries budget? That's what I'm trying to deal with practically here, going forward. Members? So that we don't come back to this issue again. Because after Friday, I want us to be able to say we are now moving forward.
Yeah. Chair, as I think, how we moved on this aspect, I don't know how about the formulation is done. But what we wanted to communicate, it will depend on how we take it legally. What does it mean? But the position we've taken is that the aspect that deals with the activities of the running of the institution should be taken out. The only aspect that, using our own common sense, we cannot tamper with for now, and it's going to need a legal framework on how we go about. If we close, for instance, we even said to them, if we close an institute, on how to run the institute, the process towards closing the institute in the institution, and if you don't, on how you manage that. The only budget that we said would request, would only acknowledge and accept, is a part that deals with staff activity only. Anything that deals with the actual running of the broader institution, we said we are not going to approve it. Meaning, to me, it can happen. But this aspect of this institute entity can be removed from the actual department and budget. I think that's what we're proposing. And then,
Mr. Banga, all that would have been possible if we had that annual performance plan. In other words, we do not have that annual performance plan. We only have a ballpark figure of 3.4 million. Which is a transfer from national department to the entity. Yes, there are scenarios in terms of the TV facilities, you know, improvement of lifestyle programs and those, more or less. But that's what we are doing. That's crux of what we're dealing with in terms of the ECOWAS submission in March, actually, by the department of your annual government plan and budget. That's what we're dealing with, to put it bluntly. Mr. Gayla?
I think, Chairperson, that budgets, let us let it fall away. As far as the staff is concerned, the department has dealt with the staff issue. It is a best. Not approving the budget and it must have fallen away. It's a best. Because we've got no plan. How are you going to say separate the staff money for amount? The best is that budget must just fall away, but here the even fund is clocking it. See what they're going to say, but that is our best.
Mr. Mandela?
Mr. Chair, I don't know if it will be helpful what I'm going to say now, but if you decide to wind up the company, wind it up so that it goes down or the companies are making money, then there's a process to be followed. Obviously, debts must be paid, a curator must be appointed, and then come back, and then we decide how much is the debt that needs to be paid. That must come out of that budget, or it must be budgeted for, or goods must be sold off, and so on. So there's a process. We need to be informed by the department what the process is. They must bring this plan. And if the plan says we appoint a curator to wind up this company, then that this must happen. But the sales, I mean, people have worked till now, so they need to be paid. We can't not pay them. I mean, and the curator must come, or the department must appoint somebody that goes and winds up this company. We as a committee can only decide it must be wind up, and then the process kicks in, and then that takes the legal. That's the way I would think a company would work. I mean, we could do that.
Any comments quickly? Mr. Hindle?
Information, and I think it's along the lines of what's been discussed. We have consulted with National Treasury on this issue of it being a Schedule 3 delisted entity, and if it was decided, and it sounds like the committee is going that way, what route should we follow? Essentially, Chair, that suggests that there are two steps. One is that the department has to then, in a sense, prepare for itself a business plan that would talk about the transfer of assets that the Honourable Member just referred to, talk about what will happen with the staff, board members, funding arrangements, how this thing is going to move forward. So there has to be a viable business plan that, in a sense, is then put on the table, even if it's not to be a Schedule 3B entity, because this thing doesn't just disappear overnight. And then the advice is that once that business plan has been approved by the minister then submits to her colleague, the Minister of Finance, a request to delist this as a public entity. And of course, if the Minister of Finance concurs, he can publish that delisting in the government gazette. But I don't think any of the steps you spelled out, Chair, are not necessary. These things have to be worked through. Essentially, as you say, we need to take almost perhaps even a conditional decision that says, well, either we will approve it on condition certain things happen, or no, we won't approve it until certain things happen. Something like that might resolve this particular conundrum. Thanks.
The last one from the department.
Thanks, Chair. Once the resolution has been taken, we will embark on that process. And for now, we cannot preempt what the resolution of Parliament is going to be. And all that Duncan has said is what we will do. But of course, I'm sure the Minister will be coming back here after this Parliament has taken some resolution to say this is the process moving forward, and that is the process.
Members, the dilemma that we are in, I think, is being resolved by our own legislation, the Public Finance Management Act, that governs the entity concerned under Schedule B2. Like many and all the entities, they are expected on March to present before Parliament, submit before Parliament their annual performance plans and their budgets. That did not happen. Simple matter as such. understand that when we meet here, we meet with a view to suggest that we are accepting or objecting to the ATP which has not been presented before us, nor has been submitted to Parliament. Without complicating the matters. That's a simple point. That's what the rest we do. On Friday when we meet, we shall prepare a resolution on our side. It will also be incumbent on the power of the department to assist us on our way forward on this particular issue. How does that sound?
I want to support in particular like a band. The department, when it comes on Friday, it must be ready in giving us guidance on what can be done. The things that Mr. Hines was talking about, they must be put in perspective on which direction we take, that we know that we're taking a decision informed, and we know what direction we're going to take. They must come prepared. Even ourselves, as Parliament, if we need to consult our legal people, we should bring them on board. I think your office consult them, in order for you to be able to give us guidance, so they should be here when we take that decision. Thank you.
I think we should conclude it on that note, members, if that's fine. Are we fine? Okay, thanks for that. The rest of the issues related to the others and liabilities, you know, shall be dealt with on that day. For instance, on top of what you were raising, Sikela, I'm saying to myself, I have a few questions myself. On a number of assets that have since, you know, been depreciated, you have a number of them. But some of those, the condition is set, is still set to be good. But the extent in which depreciation is gone, as to also what then happens, especially with your electronic waste, and also what happens then with your furniture waste, and those related questions, perhaps that would also entail a longer discussion. You know, say for one thing, members, as on a lighter note, you know, as we conclude on this particular item, you know, one being perplexed by you know, I'm not sure whether the color is purple. You know, you have purple ties here. I'm not sure who's attracting who here. And also, I'm not even sure, you know, what the meaning of a purple tie gets to be. I'm not sure who's attracting who, but they both have a, you know, permanent decision together. Members, I think we are done on this particular one. As it relates to NASA. We have two other areas of interest, item on the agenda, which also the department will be expected to be present going forward. Related to the fertilizer and feed bill. So, Nunda. Oh, your best interests are served. Okay, can we just take a 5-10 minutes and then just grab some of those things there, and then 2 to 10 minutes at the most.